Sean and Sid.
Presented by Pepsi from the First Light Home Care Studios, firstlighthomecare.com.
Warm at the moment.
Yes.
Not warm out. Oh my gosh. We were very spoiled. Let me just spit it out. Okay. We've been so spoiled.
This winter.
Yes.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, it's like February just came in our face and said,
I know. I kind of expected that.
Oh,
that's just the year we were having in 2020 and
right.
2021. You know, it's going to take a minute for it to warm up, pun intended.
Yeah. We're not the only ones. That's good. I mean, if you do need misery, loves company as your, you know, backdrop for this. Mm-hmm. Yes. And it doesn't. It probably doesn't even matter to so many people because you're at home.
Yes.
I'm driving in this stuff.
I was kind of worried my car wouldn't start because I have not driven just by choice.
Yeah.
But yeah, how are you doing over there?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
You've been doing a lot of snow blowing, shoveling.
You know, it's just a reminder that, yeah, Mother Nature, she's in control and no matter what you think. So it's been way too cold. But in light of that, the kids are happy. I was really curious how that was going to work because of homeschooling. If when it was that cold and they call a snow day, do they still have to go to school? Mm-hmm. Because what's a snow day?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I guess Columbus City Schools had gone back for one day, right?
Yeah.
And then the following day was their snow day.
It was a snow day. Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of kids, though, superstition-wise, they have their own cute little things they do. I sort of remember this when you were growing up, but I sort of don't.
Yeah, you say a lot of kids. I was one of these kids.
Okay.
These are pretty well-known, super cute.
But this wasn't when I grew up.
I don't know what changed since then.
Well, there's this thing called the internet. So maybe you guys can talk about it now.
Or we just got really creative. But these are funny. A couple superstitious trends that kids do to hopefully get a snow day.
Okay.
The next day. Uh-huh. So the first one, which I did as a kid, wear your pajamas inside out to bed.
Just thought it was because I didn't take the time to turn them right side out when I washed them.
Let alone brush my hair. But that's another story. That's another story. All right, next one. Sleep with a spoon under your pillow.
What?
It's a bonus if the spoon is frozen.
What?
I have no idea. I didn't do that one. That one's new to me.
This sounds like a mommy blogger. They made these up.
But these are a thing.
Okay.
Okay. How about flush ice cubes down the toilet?
No, I've heard that.
Yes. Yeah. You're supposed to flush the number of ice cubes down the toilet that equates to the number of inches of snow you want to have the next day.
Okay.
So,
all right.
You never saw me do that?
I don't remember that.
There wasn't much supervision going on, I don't think.
I was too busy watching your goldfish go down. That was a sad day.
And then running to PetSmart to replace my goldfish.
Exactly.
Thank you for that.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Put a white crayon on the windowsill.
For snow. Okay.
I haven't heard that one. Uh-uh. How about, this might be my favorite, wear plastic bags over your socks and in your shoes the day before.
We did that growing up.
What?
Are you mocking me right now?
No.
Yes.
Why did you do that?
Because we didn't have all weather boots growing up.
Oh,
can you hug me?
What the heck?
Nana would put our feet in bread bags.
And then what?
Inside the boots. But the boots were waterproof. Okay,
you were wearing boots.
Yeah.
I was picturing little tennis shoes and your bread bags were hanging out. And I was concerned.
And I don't think there's any problem with that either. Except she never took the heel bread, that last piece, out of the bottom.
Oh, extra cushion.
I'm kidding.
She was onto something.
All right, one more.
All right, how about just sleep backwards? So your feet are at the top of your bed, your head's at the bottom.
And that does what? That's just another superstition.
It's called the good old topsy-turvy.
Ah.
So everybody give it a whirl.
Try it, I guess. No, let's not try it. What do you do if you just want sunshine each day, every day?
Yeah, where are those superstitions?
It's Sean and Sid.
Brought to you by Merrill Norman at Polaris.
Merrill Norman, how apropos, because you might want to pick up some waterproof mascara. Guys, I'm not sure what to tell you, but because we're going to talk about crying. And the benefits of a good cry.
Good, hearty cry.
When's the last time you cried?
Oh, wow.
I mean, before we started the show.
Yeah. Really cried?
Yeah.
Probably like a week and a half ago. two yeah. weeks ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What did I say?
You didn't, this time you didn't say anything. So good for you. Just keep on moving with this segment.
Okay. You know what? I had a big cry over the weekend. And I just think I got to this place where I was just like, oh, I'm so over everything right now.
You cried.
But then I watched Pelican Bloom and that made me sadder. It's such a good movie, but I was already delicate.
Oh. So, caught you while you were down.
But it's cathartic.
Actually, I take that back. What? I cried at the end of Bridgerton.
Yeah.
So about a week ago.
Because it was over and he's so good looking.
And I'll miss him until season two.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, according to thehealthy.com and medical doctor Ashley Matskevich, having a good cry, whether happy, sad, angry, frustrated, moved, whatever, it's okay. It's okay to have a cry. Amen. In fact, sometimes it might be a good thing. And if you're ever wondering what happens before, during, and after, here we go. First of all, crying relieves your stress.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know humans are the only species to weep from emotion?
What?
Is that not the craziest thing?
Dogs whine, but are you saying like the reaction we of are tears?
To weep, like full on weep. Scientists still don't know exactly how the physical act of crying is connected to our feelings. Why we do cry when we're sad, sometimes happy.
That is so weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
But one of the benefits of blubbering might be that it's actually relieving physical tensions and stress.
Mm-hmm.
So give yourself a little breather on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Crying can also boost a mood. In a survey of 2/3 of the people that were asked, generally they feel better after they've gotten through that cry.
Oh, yeah.
Than before they cried.
Yes, you got to let it go.
Crying sometimes can make you feel worse. I love science.
Yeah. Then you're embarrassed.
Happy, sad.
You looked really vulnerable right there.
Well, that's funny because they say the places where it makes you feel worse is if you're crying in public. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're crying in the office.
Mm-hmm. Somewhere inappropriate.
Yeah. Places like that make you feel worse.
Yeah. I've been upset at the workplace. Not my current job. But it is a very uncomfortable feeling because you're like battling this emotion and wanting to not show that. So
I feel you.
Then it stresses you out more and you're just a big old bundled
slobbery snot. Crying improves communication. Not surprisingly, crying in humans first evolved as a way for an infant to get its mother's attention. Human infants are the most helpless creatures on earth. They cannot cling to fur like primates. So the only way that they can get attention, they can't like follow their mother like a baby duck or whatever. The only way they can get attention is to cry.
That is so interesting.
I mean, I'm a fairly hairy woman. I suppose you could have clung to me that way.
I probably did.
I had a hormone surge.
Because I am kind of monkey-like, so that makes a lot of sense.
Don't like to shave my legs a whole lot.
Wow, that just blew my mind.
Yeah, now
you learn something every day.
And now I've got a lot to cry about because I just admitted that publicly. Okay. Lastly, crying does forge a bond. When you're with somebody and you're trying to be supportive or vice versa, you need that connection.
Mm-hmm.
Crying is a way to, you know, just show an empathetic response to somebody who is having a tough time.
Yeah.
And it does forge a bond.
Mm-hmm.
So bottom line, there are no rules to crying. There is no shame in crying. There is no crying in baseball, I hear. I saw that movie. But regardless, let it out. Have a good old cry.
And Sean has hairy legs.
Stop. I'm going to cry. It's Sean and Sid.
Brought to you by affordablecleaningsolutions.org.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of house cleaning.
I love it. I could do it every day, all day.
That's why we have affordablecleaningsolutions.org. Or a daughter named Sydney, because that basically summed up my childhood. I tell you what.
Stop it.
I can clean a toilet.
You can. That comes from your dad, though.
Yeah. I have a little OCD in me.
You do, honey.
But I just so happen to be a vacuum cleaner expert. So buckle your seatbelts, everybody out there.
Tell us all about it.
I'm going to learn you something today. Okay. Some things that should not be swept up by your vacuum cleaner.
Feelings.
Tears. Exactly. Okay. We're going to just rattle a few off here. Okay,
that's fine.
Stay with me.
Why are they saying this is the case? Just, is this by any credible source or?
Reader's Digest.
Oh, that's credible.
Very credible. I don't know why. Someone was probably sitting there, and clogged their vacuum,
yeah,
and thought this
in the conference room at Reader's Digest.
Riveting.
Okay.
Okay. Used coffee grounds.
Ew.
Kind of interesting. Yeah.
Because they're wet and stick to
everything. They say if they're dry, you need a dustpan. If they're wet, you need a wet paper towel.
Makes sense.
Okay.
I would never do that with a vacuum.
Never, ever. Wet foods. Can you imagine?
Going over wet food?
Like, let me just sweep up these baked beans on the floor. I would probably have to,
there's no sharp
fire my
enough.
Significant other. Uh-huh. Okay. Plant debris or soil. Don't sweep that up. That one's tricky.
I've
tempted.
Probably done that before.
You could be tempted.
Eek.
Construction dust, that'll clog it right up.
Ew. Okay. I'm thinking about drywall dust, so that's a bad one. Huh?
Here's a no-brainer. Maybe don't vacuum up liquids, just in general.
Yeah, spilled unless milk. You have a shop vac. That would be the only way.
Yes, and I remember you weren't too pleased with my Uncle Gary when he took our indoor vacuum cleaner out.
You're telling on me?
Into our boat.
He's done it twice.
And about electrocuted himself.
You could electrocute yourself. And so, it just gunked up the entire vacuum.
These are good facts for everybody to know.
Yes.
The final one.
If you want to be friends with Uncle Gary.
Which everyone is. Great guy. Very handy. Very helpful. Maybe too helpful with the vacuum cleaner. Okay. This one has a story attached.
What?
Do not vacuum up fireplace ash. Oh, is this ringing a bell?
No, I know where you're going.
Okay. All right. Everybody close your eyes. It is the day before Thanksgiving. I came home from... No, I was out of college. I just came home out of the goodness of my heart.
Goodness of your heart.
Because I was going to help my mother. And so I cleaned our house while she was on TV. And I was cleaning and cleaning. This place was spotless. My mother comes home. Good intentions. Means well. What does she target? Like, I mean, we have toilets to be cleaned, bathrooms to be scrubbed.
Well, in all fairness, I had the vacuum in my hand because I was vacuuming at that time. And then my eyes just all of a sudden.
Something shiny. Well, it was the fireplace.
Uh-huh.
And so this was so classic. She walks over to the fireplace and turns on. It was the shop vac. So.
Oh, you're right. I went and got
you
the
really
shop
made,
vac.
You made the right play there. You had good intentions. Mm-hmm. Well, the shop vac was in reverse. The house was spotless. She sticks it into the fireplace, cranks it on high, and it literally just explodes. And I'm in the kitchen looking at this mess. And what does she do? She says, turn the fan on. Open the windows. Turn the fan on. So she cranks our ceiling fan on high, and all the dust is flying everywhere. I literally started crying.
You were so mad at me.
And this is how we're different.
Because I was laughing so hard.
She was laughing.
And you were so mad at me.
Oh, maybe it was the Clorox fumes that I had been inhaling from cleaning all day.
I'll never do it again.
I thought this place was ruined.
Sorry, Mom. Jeez. It's Sean and Sid.
Presented by Pepsi. Brought to you from the First Light Home Care Studios, firstlighthomecare.com.
All right, Sydney, always on the cutting edge of science and technology.
Don't know about that.
Okay, well then tell us what you do know.
My iPhone still has a button, whatever that means. This blew my mind. Elon Musk, first of all, I just started following him on Twitter. He just fascinates me.
Why does he fascinate you?
Well, he tweeted that he likes Etsy, and I was like, oh, my man.
Okay.
But no, he...
What is he possibly buying on Etsy?
Can you imagine you get an order from Elon Musk?
No.
He wants like a monogrammed coffee mug. Like what? Okay, but that's besides the point. Elon Musk, as you know, he's just decades ahead of us. His mind just works in a different way.
It is so different, isn't it?
Now he's manufacturing minds, some might say. So an article came out by Complex that his team has created in conjunction with Neuralink, I guess is a company that is into this artificial intelligence stuff. They've created a brain machine that has allowed monkeys to play video games using solely their mind.
Aww, he poor claims monkeys.
This. No one's seen pictures of these poor monkeys.
I don't want them to work on monkeys.
He said they have a monkey that has a wireless implant. It's basically, he describes it as a Fitbit on their head with tiny wires in it. It allows them to play video games with their mind. He says you can't see the implant.
You can't? Well, good, because I was wondering how they wear their hats. So it's internal, like a microchip.
The way he describes it's kind of funky. He did say you can't see it, and the monkey is happy. He said, we have the nicest monkey facilities in the world. We want them to play mind pong with each other. That would be pretty cool.
Oh, my God.
I mean, he's serious.
But what's the end game? That we're all going to have microchips? We'll all be able to play video games with monkeys? I mean, what is our end game on this one?
How amazing. He said one of the goals is to combat common brain ailments like memory loss.
Okay.
Which would be amazing.
Yeah.
Blindness. Really? Paralysis.
What?
Depression, hearing loss, anxiety, brain damage. So they're literally figuring out how to tap into, like, probably the neurons in our brain.
What's the stock? Monkeychip.com or something?
Monkeychip. I don't want to be across one of those monkeys when they're playing, what did he call it? Monkey Pong?
He called it Pong, right?
Mind Pong.
Mind Pong.
He said that would be pretty cool.
See, have you watched any of the Planet of the Apes movies?
Yes, okay. Maybe one.
Because they can all talk. They all, you know, are, yeah, mm-hmm. They're like humans right there.
Yeah, they already are like
but
humans.
But they could not beat Mark Wahlberg at Pong. So, and then, you know, there probably will be a Planet of the Apes number 5.
There might be. I don't think Mark will be in it. He owns like all those Chevrolet companies now.
Oh, that's true. He's very busy. It's Sean and Sid.
Brought to you by Diet Pepsi.
Yes. We talked about Elon Musk, correct?
Correct.
We are amazed at the fact that he seems to think that he has technology where they can attach a chip to the back of a monkey's head and maybe solve a lot of brain diseases and a lot of brain injury issues.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. I hope the monkeys are in on this, but whatever. He is one of those guys who's forward thinking. The other guy... And I don't think anybody could argue the fact that in his day before he passed, mm-hmm. Steve Jobs of Apple was revolutionary.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing what he was able to do with Apple. Well, now his executive assistant has written a book.
Oh,
and,
cool.
Yeah. She was only with him for like a year. And this book really isn't about that. Her book is called Pause, Breathe, Choose, Become the CEO of Your Well-Being. Hmm. Because Steve Jobs was so into that kind of thing. And in the time she was with him, Naz Bashetti is her name. She said that he was the healthiest of healthy in the way that he lived his life. Sadly, he died of pancreatic cancer, really rare pancreatic cancer, early in age. But she said, just to give you an idea of who he was, the guy who was, you know, mm-hmm. everything. Steve Jobs took care of himself, she said. She said one day to surprise him, she brought an oatmeal raisin cookie to him, a gourmet one, mind you, from uh-oh. Whole Foods.
Couldn't do it.
With his lunch as a nice gesture, she thought. Later, I found it in the garbage. She said, my healthy food was Steve's garbage food. Instead
wow.
of desserts, the notoriously demanding Jobs required a steady stream of fruits and vegetables, so much so that they even inspired his tech company's name, Apple.
Oh, okay.
Because he was so into all that. She said, I got him avocado rolls every day, practically. He kept it vegetarian, super light. Yes, he skipped soy sauce, ginger, or wasabi.
He just ate them dry.
Ate them just as they were.
He's built different.
Yeah. He did all the natural meditation, things like that, mindfulness, yoga breathing, all that kind of thing. This was interesting. He lived such a vegetarian lifestyle. He believed that that was the only way to live.
Mm-hmm.
So he did this, though, because he wanted to eliminate the need for showers. Earning him the night shift in his Atari days back before Apple.
Uh-huh.
So coworkers were spared his stink.
Ooh, I've never heard that about him.
Yeah.
Wow.
His other health hacks, thankfully, were less peculiar. He did have a private trainer to work out with him. He was big time into meditation. because he liked things quiet, people would try to get a hold of him. He was one of the most important people in the world. Mm-hmm. And people would try to get a hold of him all the time, never go get him. He turned off his own phone all the time. Turning off his phone, he got to be fully present in the moment, focused and engaged while enjoying his own playtime.
Huh.
He wore the same three things every day.
Black t-shirt.
Black turtleneck.
No shoes, right?
Levi jeans, black turtleneck.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, you're right. He walked around barefoot.
He loved to be barefoot.
You are so right. He walked around barefoot. Okay. I know that creative people are very eccentric.
Mm-hmm.
But if I didn't wear deodorant and walked around barefoot every day, I'm pretty sure you'd call me out on it.
Pretty sure I wouldn't be excited about that. And I'm pretty sure you're not a Fortune 100 billionaire.
That hurt.
Sorry. It's the truth. It's Sean and Sid.
It's Sean and Sid.
Brought to you by Wesley Communities, wesleycommunities.com.
All right. This kind of got my attention. So the New York Post did an article about HBO's show. It's called Fake Famous. Where they reveal the tricks influencers use to gain followers.
Interesting.
So the backstory about this is, are influencers real? Are they fake? What they push, is that real? Is it not?
Mm-hmm.
So HBO Max did this documentary. And in fact, it just premiered on Tuesday. So this year-long experiment, mind you, they had veteran technology journalist Nick Bilton. And he attempted to turn 320-somethings with kind of small social media followings into bona fide Instagram
cool.
influencers. Okay. It sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
So when you look on Instagram, there are over, get this, if you're wondering who is an influencer out mm-hmm. there, on Instagram right now, there are over 140 million people who have over 100,000 followers.
Wow.
Crazy. How is it that the entire population of Russia could possibly be perceived as famous?
That amazes me that the number, I guess, well, number one, that it's so large.
Yeah.
But two, that, I mean, 100,000 followers is a lot.
It is a lot. So he looked into this and he was really troubled because a survey came out that said kids in America want to be influencers more than any other career. Any. Right now.
Mm.
For him, the project, he said, was about exposing the lie the internet personalities tell so that they can make it, quote unquote, mm-hmm. online. And it also shed light on the darkness of this influencer industry. Now, there are influencers who work really hard at it. And that's what he did then. He took three not famous people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they had to, like one of them, Dominique Druckmann, she was a wannabe actress. She had 1,137 followers. He took a designer, Chris Bailey. He had 1,157. And then an executive assistant, Wiley Heiner, 2,528
wow.
followers. And the goal was to see how many they could drum up. Well, so they did the craziest of things. They literally, his team, set up these scenarios that looked like they were really like kids that were in the move and groove
mm-hmm.
and to the point which there was one where the girl, she stuck her head in an old kiddie pool filled with fake rose petals on Instagram, made it look like she was at a very expensive spa.
Mm-hmm.
The guy, Bailey, went to a private gym in Beverly Hills. It was really a downtown warehouse. And the other guy, Bilton, he was inside a $50 an hour private jet just to shoot
Take
this
pictures.
To make it look. So they kept, you know, aggregating all these numbers one after another. And then they bought the bots, right?
Okay.
So you know how they can do that? You can buy these
fake followers. Yeah.
So the producers of the show spent close to $15,000 on more than 300 different bot services for the project. Ended up, Duckman, the actress wannabe, ended up with more than 100,000 followers.
Wow.
All based on fake stuff she was doing.
Fake likes, fake follows.
Fake all that.
Fake experiences.
Yeah. And the others, though, the two guys were kind of interesting in that they just decided they were feeling so uncomfortable with this fake stuff that they got out of it. Because he said he was looking like a fool and he was embarrassed around his friends who really knew who he was.
Oh, weird.
Which is interesting. But the bottom line was, you can buy all of these followers. Mm-hmm. And to...
I know. Have seen it.
Now, I'll say this, that we have, you know, in our family circle, someone who works really hard at it. Mm-hmm. And she's gotten really good at it. Mm-hmm. And she has, you know, not 100,000 followers, but she is building it slow, grind after grind, working
so... And it's a
so
lot of work.
Constantly, you're living with that phone in your face, mm-hmm. constantly.
It's the stories and the interactions and content posts.
If that's your end game and that's where, you know, you want to continue to grow, that's great.
But that's amazing, that the stat that that is the number one desired job for adolescents right now.
I know. For wow. kids. So what does that tell you?
Wow, wow. I need a baby pool.
It's Sean Answered.
Brought to you by Avola Lanza Hair Studios.
AvolaLanza.com. All right. So we touched on influencer cultures, right?
Yes.
And how, you know, a lot of that is just manufactured stuff. And then along comes this girl with a big old mouth who got in LeBron's face.
And other big old things.
And she's an influencer. So maybe there's something to that.
If you didn't see it, there was a riff that went on at the Lakers game. This young girl, she's only 25. I mean,
she looked older.
I'm almost 24.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should age myself, but there you go, people.
Oh, you're so old.
But I'm saying she is a 25-year-old standing up to LeBron James while he's playing an NBA game.
She needed to be sat down.
And she kind of was.
She was.
But if you didn't see this, like I said, during a Lakers game, what's hilarious is LeBron referred to her after the fact as courtside Karen.
He gave her a term.
He gave her a term. Wasn't it stuck?
So take us back. So fill everybody in on how this all started.
Okay. So this girl, her name's Juliana Carlos. Uh-huh. Her husband, Chris Carlos, supposedly was heckling LeBron. Just the whole game. Okay. Heckling. LeBron reacted.
To him.
To the heckling.
And they were right down on the floor, as I remember.
Oh, they're basically
there's nobody
at
in,
half court.
Nobody in these arenas, so.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Which brings up a good point. Maybe LeBron was more honed in on it because it's so much quieter at the games. Right. I mean, there weren't many people around. So they're right on the court side. Chris Carlos starts heckling LeBron. Then Juliana steps in. But she's just, I mean, you can look it up online.
She's a fame seeker. She's ridiculous.
The stuff that she was saying to LeBron. Meanwhile,
awful.
You're there to like enjoy the sport. If you're that upset with your courtside seats, like get over yourself. Right. Of course, she takes to Instagram.
Of course.
So it's been deleted, but she posted on her Instagram story. Yeah. Talk about influencer culture. Said just got kicked out of the game for talking beep to LeBron James, for talking beep to my beeping husband.
She's lovely.
She deleted it.
She's adorable. That's
rightfully
somebody's
so.
Child. That makes me sick.
Rightfully so.
I'm being a mom right now.
Well,
time
she's
out.
Gotten.
She needs a timeout.
She needs a timeout. And she kind of did. Security basically sat them down in their seats. It was funny. The announcers of the game, if you watch the videos, were kind of like chuckling. Like, really? You're going to yell at LeBron James? Yeah. He could just toss you. He could toss you out.
I thought they ended up getting escorted out. But then that's why he tagged her after the fact. He gave her that nickname. Because she got walked out of there and did... obnoxious things on her way out the door.
You're right. He actually said, I don't think it was warranted to be kicked out. There was a back and forth between two grown men and we said our piece. He said his piece, I said my piece. And then someone else jumped into it and said their piece. I don't think they should have been kicked out.
Yeah. So LeBron was trying to take the high road.
All right.
But then he's just like over it.
He tweeted, courtside Karen was mad. That is awesome. You know what? Make light of the situation. People are on edge right now.
What are the odds that this lovely lady, Juliana, who just seems like she just had a bad day, she's really not a bad egg. What are the odds that she just wants fame?
Oh, you don't say.
You think that's a stretch? It's Sean and Sid.
Brought to you from the First Light Home Care Studios. FirstLightHomeCare.com.
Yes. Okay. You know, sadly, right now, with there's is a two-part thing. Mm-hmm. Yes. So good that seniors in particular are getting their vaccinations.
Yes.
So great. Mm-hmm. Your Nana got her first round. So, you know, so happy and thankful for that. And teachers are getting them, you know, the students eventually. I mean, all of this. Good. We're going to get back to normal. One of the things, as will happen, is predatory people will prey. Mm-hmm. And right now, a big warning. So if you're listening to this, you need to let other people know that you should not pose on any social media a picture with your vaccination card.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen it. Everywhere.
Everywhere.
It's definitely something to be proud of. Well, but lots of personal info.
There can be a lot of info on there. Even something as minuscule to you as your birth date with your name attached to that is huge. You've got to know not to do that. So if you know anybody who's done it, I did message a couple of friends of mine because I'm like, yeah, you need to probably black that out because you do not want them. You know,
maybe just cover up the date. Right. You could still post about it, but
the sad part is, so there are many seniors that are being duped right now. So the Better Business Bureau is telling them to go on their site and look at what are some of the vaccination scams that are happening. So the Better Business Bureau is warning seniors, don't fall victim to these scams, and not just the vaccination card one, but they're always finding, you know, these scumballs that will take advantage just because they can. And so as far as when you are trying to schedule, if somebody's calling you to schedule, make sure you know who's calling you. Mm-hmm. You know, don't just start giving out personal information.
Oh.
There are so many things like that. It makes you so sad.
I didn't even think about that aspect.
Yeah.
Like fake robocalls or... Yeah.
Even fake sites.
Thefts, you know, that are calling and saying, can I have your name and your social security number? We're going to sign you up
sign
for the
you
vaccine.
Up. And they're so desperate to get the vaccine that they'll do it. So if you know anybody getting this is our public service announcement portion of the Sean and Sid Show.
Beep, beep, beep.
Go to the Better Business Bureau website and see what they say the scam is. And then you can share that with people you love, just so everybody's in the know. And then we'll be able to rest tonight, because I'm not sure I'll sleep otherwise if you don't take care of this right now.
Mm-mm. Well, thanks for listening. Uh-huh. If you want to follow us on social media, we won't scam you. Instagram, Sean_and_Sid. Find us on Facebook, Sean and Sid. Our website, seanandsid.com.
That's right. And the podcast, we always have that up there, as Sid mentioned, seanandsid.com. And right here, of course, too, you found us. And thank you for doing that.
We appreciate you.